Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadili and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems, issues and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are mostly based upon the holy book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and naturally of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and Islamic researcher Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today, dear Sayyid, we'll be talking about how we can, as Muslim parents, raise our teenagers this time in an Islamic way. We know that there are so many challenges in doing this, especially for those who live in a Western society, and also, to be honest, also in an Islamic society. So, dear Sayyid, how do we go on about raising our teenagers in an Islamic fashion?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Now, as parents, we all know that the most sensitive and difficult part of a child's life is, in fact, is teenage years.
Right.
Where when a child is young, you can have certain control over him to a certain extent. Even
consider mold him.
Yeah, right. So now even if he's, if he's rebellious and he's bad and what have you,
no, right.
You have some sort of control over him. You can
right.
pretty
can
much
constrain him.
Yeah, you can constrain him in a way right. or another. But when he becomes a teenager, that's when he becomes too sensitive. You can't deal with him as a child anymore.
Right.
Because now he can raise his voice. He can even get violent if he wants.
Right, he can fight
or,
back.
Or, in worst case scenario, he can actually leave the house altogether. He, as we call them, runaways. He can run
right.
away. Run away
right.
from the house. And such upbringing and such mentality is being actually pushed to our kids and our teenagers at a younger age. For example, I was watching a movie. I don't remember if you've seen it, Inside Out.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So it was, I don't know, about 5, 6, 8 years ago. I can't remember quite. But what they were teaching the child is that, look, you have the right to be rebellious. If something doesn't go your way, you can shout out and you can do whatever you want. And worst case scenario, you can leave the house.
And the run away.
Yeah,
back,
the character
back,
runs
back,
away.
Back
so as a child. So when my kids are watching this, they're basically learning something for their... For their teenage years.
It is acceptable behavior to run away.
Yeah, so this is a pre-programming
right.
for, their, for their adult years that they've been programmed like, you know, 10 years, 15 years prior to that, that it's okay to run away from your house. So parents sometimes feel hopeless in this case.
Naturally, like, right.
Yeah, so at this stage of their life. If the parents did not do their job, when the kids were young, it will be a nightmare for them when the kids are teenagers.
They're going to see the consequences. They're
exactly.
going to suffer.
So we're constantly being saying that it is very important, very vital, that from the beginning, you do the correct thing. If you don't, you will live that nightmare yourself as your children hit the age of puberty.
Right. And with that said, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Thank you. This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how to raise teenagers in an Islamic manner. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
Now, we don't want to take worst-case scenario. We want to go with the, you know, I have a kid.
Balanced
my
case.
Kids are all right. They, you know, right. They have their good, their bad. You know,
of course. A normal nothing. Child.
Yeah, a normal child, to say, right. To a certain extent. So there are a few things as parents need to keep in mind. One of the things is when it comes to trying to advise them. You need to use simple language they can understand. Because sometimes we might speak to a 15-year-old
as an adult.
Or a 14-year-old as an adult.
Right.
A language he never understands. So you need to use as simple words as you can.
Something relatable at least, right?
Something relatable, something simple, something spontaneous, not thought. Because, you know, some people, like right. Some parents prepare a lecture for their kids.
Right.
Or at least in their heads they prepare it if they haven't written it down.
Right.
We don't want that. Like something goes wrong or the child does something wrong or you want him to do something, you come to him naturally, just sit with him. In a natural manner, simple right. Words, and just let it come out of your mouth.
So we'll have a so free-flowing conversation instead of a lecture where you sit him
exactly.
Down and like, listen,
exactly.
Listen, listen.
Exactly. So right. We say it has to be spontaneous and has to be simple.
It can be, of course, pre-planned, but do not make it too obvious. Like, do not have a word-for-word script that you want
no,
to follow.
Of course you can, but what we're saying is that the idea here is you use words or language that's easy for him to understand. For example, recently I was talking with a teenager. He's 15, and he used to attend my Islamic classes back when he was even younger, like 13,
right.
12. Or even...
So an old student of yours.
Yeah. So right. When I was speaking to him recently, and we talked about a topic that I've spoken about so many times back in the day.
Right.
When he was... I said to him, where were you when I was teaching this? Like, now I'm teaching... He's like, oh, wow, I never knew this. I'm like, where were you when I was teaching? You were in my class.
Like, bruh.
Yeah.
You so, spoke about this before.
Yeah. So what happened is like that maybe... And then I was sat thinking to myself, maybe... The language I was using back in the day to teach him or the guys, it was more than they could handle. Because when I was talking to him now, I'm spontaneous.
Right.
My lecture is not prepared.
Right.
I'm using simple words that he can understand.
Right.
So I managed to get through to him.
I think
easily.
It also ties into the way, even if, for example, we have some very smart kids, they say, I can understand the language that the adults are speaking to me. But there is also a disconnect if they cannot relate to, for example, the examples presented, the scenarios.
Look, this is not just young kids or adults. Me and you
right.
Now as a grown-up adults.
Yeah.
Now, I can pick up any book and can read it. I can know what they're saying.
Right,
like in
yeah.
Terms of saying, you know, a words. But like you read the Quran, you know what the Quran is saying. But do you
right.
Know the tafsir of the Quran?
And that's a whole other matter.
That's a different issue.
Right.
So with kids, yes, they can understand what you're saying
yeah,
as in terms
exactly
of words.
Yeah, right.
But in terms of meaning or in depth or actually yeah. What you're trying to get to.
Understanding, comprehension.
That's a different issue.
Right.
Okay? So even the Quran says, لَهَمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَعْقُلُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but it does not understand. They cannot
right.
Contemplate. They have eyes that cannot see. لَهَمْ, you know, and Allah
right.
Talks about, not, they can see normally, just like
there's
me and
no
you.
There's no depth to it
just,
at all.
It does not, you know, perceive, just not gets anything. So with children, and especially with young, with teenagers, they require that spontaneous, simple language.
All right, on that note, let's go ahead and take another break.
Ya Muqiyal Khayrat, Ya Muqiyal Khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, he who has a child must treat him in a childish manner.
Ya Muqiyal Khayrat, Ya Muqiyal Khayrat.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how to raise teenagers in an Islamic way. Dear Sayyid, please pick up where you left off.
So first we said we need to have this spontaneous, simple way of dealing with teenagers.
Right.
Second thing, we need in our way of talking to them, because this is basically all we're going to be is talking. We can't do anything else.
Right.
You need to mix your speech with emotion. There has to be a mixture of speech and emotion.
Isn't that natural, if I might ask, Zaid?
No. So we have what we call an intellectual speech and an emotional speech.
Right.
And an emotional speech, when you hear it, you feel very emotional and you cry.
Right, right.
Have you seen, I don't know if you watch TED Talks.
Right,
TED
yes,
Talks, for example, you see
right.
some speakers, they're very intellectual. And some right. people speak about their personal experience and things that happened to them. And it's a very emotional.
Right, pathos, and ethos, and logos. If you remember those way rhetoric manners. In logos, you primarily rely on logic.
Yeah.
Ethos, you rely on your renown, your reputation.
Exactly.
And pathos upon emotion.
Exactly. So we need a mixture of both. So
right.
when you talk to a child, you have to make him realize that, okay, you love him. You're his parent.
Even as a teenager,
of course.
Very important, because
some
people, as soon as their children grow, they do not really express their love in
nothing. Well, that's a problem. I think we spoke about that in many episodes, that we said that emotion needs to continue with the child.
Of course.
Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of problems on our hands.
So speak to them on an emotional basis.
So logic and emotion. So
right.
sometimes if you're trying to convey a message, if you're trying to teach them or give them an advice about a matter of life, for example, or something,
right.
for example, as simple as their studies, right? You're trying to talk to them about studying hard or even going to school to begin with. Because some teenagers, they get to an age like, I don't want to go to school, I want to drop out. I want to go work, for example.
Right.
And you have to convince them. So you need to use like an intellectual way of talking, plus mixed with emotional way. For example, you make them feel emotional connection to you and to your speech. For example,
right.
as much as reminding them of what has happened to you yourself, if you haven't continued, because a lot of parents haven't finished high school or haven't finished
right.
university,
right.
so they could relate to that. Or even if you have reached, you could say to them, what would I be if I have not reached
right.
what I reached?
So you engage the emotions.
Exactly. So you bring words and sentences that
right.
that ticks them emotionally. So it makes
right.
it, when they are emotional, it makes
right.
it a lot easier for them to accept the fact that they can understand what you're saying intellectually.
Right.
And because they are at an age where they have full energy, they love to learn. They love to have a discussion. So you can use that also in your advantage.
Right.
Okay? So because especially teenagers at this age, before puberty, they're constantly they're going through a mental phase. They're going through an emotional phase. And they're going through a phase where they're trying to prove their own personality.
They're trying to find as well their own
yeah,
personality. They're
exactly.
trying to find out who
so,
they are.
Exactly. So sometimes at this age, if you come, just give them direct, dry
right.
orders, it will not work. Because
no,
that
of course
collides
not.
With their personality.
Right.
So what you do is instead, is you have a dialogue. You have a discussion. Something they would enjoy the most. Because they feel there's a sense of love and affection in it.
Right.
When I come and talk to my son one-to-one and have a discussion with him, it's not the same one saying to him, okay, go do it, don't do it, this, that, and I walk away. So we have to use also that for in our advantage.
And on that note, dear Sayyid, we will unfortunately have to end today's program. I thank you for your insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any comments or questions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. In addition to that, we also have social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Fi amanillah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.